Tell the possible outcomes of a statistical decision and how we determine the probability of each. We might commit a type 1 error. If we commit a type 1 error, the p-value is the probability of committing that type 1 error when we reject the null. If we reject the null, we might commit a type 3 error, being right that there's an effect there, but wrong about what the effect is. That's estimable, but it's a huge pain in the butt. It's a nasty formula. And in order to apply the formula, you have to know so much about the relationship you're looking at that you probably wouldn't be studying it anymore. So it's not worth calculating in any interesting sense. You might also commit a type 2 error. And if you commit a type 2 error, you want to estimate the probability. I'm sorry, I should say, if you retain the null, you could be committing a type 2 error, and you'd like to know the probability that that retained null is a type 2 error. And to do that, you're going to first find the power in the study, and 1 minus the power is the probability of that type 2 error. Now, here's the complicated part. In order to determine the real probability of each, we have two different approaches. One is the significance test. That's what we were just talking about. The p-value tells us about the probability that a rejected null is a type 1 error. 1 minus the power tells us the probability that a retained null is a type 2 error. What we really want to do is have information from more than one study. We want to use replication and convergent research as our estimate of what's really going on in the population, so we can look across the studies and decide which one's got it right, which one's got it wrong. The only reason we have all these p-values and significance tests and all the rest of this crap is because we're impatient, by design. We want to make a decision based on every sample, and we want to be able to know how likely we are to be right and wrong when we make that decision. Back in the old days, before the 60s and Sputnik and the push and the production of what got turned into what is known as the publisher perish milieu, people would run 5 or 6 studies, go to conferences, talk to each other, make trips, hang out with each other, show each other data. And when they had 5 or 6 convergent studies, they'd pick the one that they thought was most representative and publish that and mention, and we've done this 5 or 6 other times, let me know if you want to see those data. Nowadays, life is a little more up-pace. Research demands are certainly a little more up-pace. And we literally have to do something useful with each commitment of resources. That is, every study's got to give us something. And so if we're going to look at the results from a single study and draw a conclusion and push that conclusion into the literature, we need to know the probability that we're right and the probability that we're wrong. But what we'd really like to do is run large amounts of convergent research, hang out, and decide what we think we've seen. Okay? And that's why there's two layers. There's the p-value and the power, which gives us the type 2 error about this study. But then we still do literature reviews. Nobody gets to do a dissertation without a literature review. Nobody gets grant money without a literature review. Show me that you know what's going on, how it's being done, what we think we've found, and if there are any problems. Now! Tell me how you're going to run your one study that's going to add something to it. So there's always two slices of everything. What we get out of this study and how it relates to the rest of the literature.